two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
A little Sum 41, huh? Wow. That's a blast from the past. All right, 215, Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Happy Tuesday, everybody. It's always kind of that lull in the NCAA tournament. By the way, big thanks to David Locke for joining us and rubbing in that my season's over. That's great. Appreciate that.
I asked David if he believes he'll be calling a play-in game, and he goes, there's a chance. I need to talk to Scotty about early exits, though. That's dirty.
That is cutthroat right there.
That feels dirty.
People have been rubbing you lately.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
What's going on with that?
Is it karma? Did I put out some bad energy? Did I go after some people? I didn't think that was the case, but oh well.
There's something. Somebody went after you last week. What was it? It was about the same thing. Somebody went
there was a, there was something somebody did that kind of felt like Rubel.
Yeah, I was like, why are you doing that? Oh, sorry.
Greg Rubel did get one in on you, though.
I know. Yeah.
One of these days, we've got to talk to him about it. It felt personal.
It did feel a little personal. And the thing is, Greg is like, at least I thought at the time, was like the nicest person on the planet. So I didn't see it coming. And even when the bus was being backed over me again, I still didn't even really feel like it was happening.
But then you go back and listen, it's like, jeez. Yep, that's a shot.
Yeah. Oh, well. Live and learn. All right. Utah opening up spring ball today. Utah State opened up spring ball yesterday. So, Hans, we have it. The trifecta. Everybody's underway with spring football.
BYU just getting a huge head start.
Does it matter, by the way?
No. No, I don't think it matters. And BYU is really trying to spread it out. So they have the alumni game coming up on March 31st and a bit of a spring scrimmage that they're going to put together. And then they come back and they finish through parts of April to get all, what is it, 15 practices that you can have in spring ball?
I think it's 15. Is that what you said?
Yeah. So they'll finish out sometime in mid-April as they kind of extend it out. I don't know if there's really anything to it. I might start a little earlier and just in case I've got injuries and I give myself an extra 2 or 3 weeks maybe for a guy to heal up before fall camp if he suffers a bad sprain or some type of tear. Give myself as much time as I possibly can. The other reason I might start a little bit early is if I feel like I've got a lot of transfer portal work left. And I need to give myself as much time between the end of spring ball to the beginning of fall camp to get back into the portal, recruit, and fill the gaps that I might have. And as I mentioned, I think BYU's got some gaps that they do need to fill. I think that the linebacker spot, they need some help. rush edge. They need a little bit of help. Wide receiver, I think they're going to need some help. So they're going to get back in the portal and do some work. Maybe one, maybe two corners that they've got to go out and get. Try to bolster their backfield.
And
so that gives them a little bit more time.
And there's a lot of teams out there that'll see players hit the portal at the end of spring ball because, you know, they see the writing on the wall. They're not going to get the playing time they want, or maybe just not liking a new coaching staff that was put in place or something. There's always that wave that hits, you know, when you get into April a little bit, and you can pick up some additional help to your team as well. So, yeah, that's all on the table for sure.
And BYU, I think, with their new coaching staff, wanted to get at it as quick as they could. This new defensive coaching staff, just get going and start implementing things. Give guys as much time to ingest it and continue to learn it between spring and fall camp. BYU is just in a completely different place than Utah is, or really even Utah State is right now. Utah State might be in a pretty tough transitional time.
It's been, and I think Blake Anderson will join us coming up a little bit later on in the week. Chat with him about what's going on, because he's lost a defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator. Now, that was kind of a mutual parting of ways with the OC. Defensive coordinator was not. Ephraim Bond is now the safeties coach for the Cleveland Browns. And so they've lost some key members of their staff. Defense, you know, the portal helped them, and now the portal's hurting them a little bit. A.J. Vongpachong, really good linebacker. I know he's been linked to BYU. Saw a story in the Tribune that BYU may be going after him. I know Washington State and his connections with Frank Miley will probably be in play up there. So, tremendous linebacker who's no longer at Utah State. They are not only are they returning four starters on defense, but only 15 lettermen on defense going into next season.
Jeez. That's going to be tough.
Yeah.
And they lost Waylon Opoio
on the offensive side, yeah.
Did they lose any other offensive linemen? Was that
to graduation? Yes, but not to the portal.
But
not
to graduation.
But their defensive line. I mean, their defensive line just got riddled by the portal.
So Utah State's in a tough situation too.
Yeah.
BYU's fighting their butts off. What I like about BYU right now is they're being extremely aggressive. They're not sitting around and thinking, "Oh, we'll just do what we can do with what we've got." No. We got to bring in what we got to bring in. We got to fire the coaches we have to fire and bring in what player personnel we need to bring in to try to develop these guys. I've been down to four BYU spring observation periods, and, you know, I'm watching Jan Jorgensen stay after practice is over, and he's down on the far end working with individual ends, you know, trying to give them just a little bit more off the edge, trying to give them some type of fire. You know, these guys are putting in a lot of extra work. And I think that's important, especially where you're sitting right now.
Yeah. It's just, I mean, Utah had, when they transitioned into the Pac-12, they had the first year where they, you know, they go to the Sun Bowl and what were they, 8 or 9 wins that year? I think 8 wins. Pretty good year. And then they went 5-7 back-to-back years. And I anticipate that BYU, it's going to be a 2 or 3 year process where they can get up to speed. But boy, it'd be nice to hit the ground running.
Yeah, it would.
Like, if you can get to a bowl game, even if it's 6-6 year one in the Big 12, 7-5, I still count that as a W.
I'm still a little bit bitter, and I know I have no right to be. I'm still a little bit bitter that Jaren Hall and Puka Nacua aren't back this year.
Sure would have helped.
Because I would be surprised if either one gets drafted. If they do, I hope they do. I'd love to see both of them get drafted. But I think they would have had an opportunity to put on a show next year on a massive platform.
Yeah. Yeah.
Taking on Arkansas and then getting right into play with Texas and Oklahoma and putting together that Big 12 schedule that they got. They were going to be on a big stage and have an opportunity to stay healthy, because I think the biggest ding on Puka right now is he can't stay healthy.
Yeah.
Whether he's injured in a Senior Bowl or he's injured at a combine or he's injured throughout a season. And I'm not talking about playing with pain. I'm talking about injury keeping him off the field. And that's a big red flag. Same with Jaren.
Yeah.
Jaren can't stay healthy, and I would have loved to see them come back, stay healthy, put together a great performance, and earn a second or third round valuation. I know that there was a period of time where Jaren Hall was getting some third round noise, but I think that that's really cooled off.
Not a great Senior Bowl.
Didn't get on the field.
You know, the other thing, too, that you feel a little sick about is if he does not get drafted and he's just battling in a camp, his financial reward could have been more staying in college for another year.
Yeah.
I mean, he could have made more money.
Yeah, so that is
with
kind
the
of
NIL.
A hard camp thing.
Rising factor.
Yeah.
It's kind of a hard thing because I've got a lot more faith in Jaren Hall than I've got in Kaden Slovis at this point.
Oh, yeah.
But I do know that Slovis is really building some rapport with the coaches right now.
Well, and the fact that we had Connor Payon, and Connor's like, yeah, I live with the guy. I see what he's, they're roommates. I see what the work he's putting into this thing.
Yeah.
And so that's, I got to imagine if you're Kaden Slovis and you've been at USC and you've been talked about nationally and you come in, the one way that you're going to earn your teammates' trust is just working harder than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't come in and say, well, when I was at USC, we did this. Or you know, you can't do that. You got to be like, hey, I'm in the trenches with you. I'm going to be roommates with an offensive lineman. And I'm going to put in a ton of time with film and effort and the work that I need to do to try to earn your trust. Mm-hmm. Not only from a coach's standpoint, from your teammate's standpoint, too. And it seems like he's doing all that.
He is. And the good news is he's going to have a really good offensive line in front of him. I think BYU's best position group is going to be their offensive line. And Kingsley continues to strike me as a future NFL 8-9 year veteran. And that offensive front still going to be big.
Yeah.
Still going to have a lot of experience. So I feel really good about their offensive line. But there is definitely areas that I've got questions about. That defensive line, they've got to be able to find the pressures that you play inside that Jay Hill's defense with. And the good news is the crew that they brought in for development in pass rushing, all of the guys, whether it's Siona Pua, Kelly Popinga, Justin Enna, or it's Jay Hill, all of them understand great pass rushing and strength techniques off the edge. So they'll find the athleticism and the body type that they can develop to build the pressure that they need to build. At least that's the hope.
Yeah.
And as I've mentioned, I have seen a couple of guys that I like. And I'm bummed, still bummed that BYU lost Logan Fano, but I'm happy for the University of Utah that they got Logan Fano, who's going to be available in spring, both Spencer and Logan.
Yeah.
So Utah's roster this year, it looks really good. It looks solid. They've got every position group, they've got guys and names that are returning. We went through some yesterday, some that we didn't go through. Your wide receivers and Devon Vele and Money Parks come back. I went through the tight ends in Yasmin and Brent Keithy. I did not go through the safeties yesterday, but you get Cole Bishop back at the safety position. And Sione Vaki back at the safety position. So you've got leadership at the safety position. Running backs, you've got Chris Curry and Makai Bernard and Jaquindon Jackson. So you feel like you've got some good options there. And it just goes back to what you talked about yesterday. Got to have Cam Rising healthy.
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question.
I mean, I still have expectations for Cam Rising because I think there's just no way you pub him the way you pubbed him unless you believe he's going to be participating in the early parts of this season.
Look, I think that not every ACL tear is the same. There's ACL tears that go along with a bunch of ligament tears where it'll just wreck you and you're a good year and a half before you're back anywhere close to where you used to be. There can be partial tears, which I actually think is what happened there. I don't think it was a full tear. I think it was a partial tear. And I think that based on the timeline, he should be back and should be ready to go. But then the mind's got to be right. You got to trust your body. Like, there's a lot of other things that go along with it to make sure that you're right going into the season when you open up the season against Florida again.
It's such a tough open. Yeah. Florida and Baylor back to back.
You'd love an FCS opponent, but that's not going to be the case this year.
I do think that this team, it feels like this is a really good roster.
Yeah.
Outside of the quarterback situation, I feel pretty confident with every position group. Can you name a position group that you don't feel pretty confident about outside of special teams that I don't care about?
No.
Other than the quarterback?
No. I mean, did we talk about this on or off the air last year or yesterday about running back? Like running back.
That was off the air, and I just briefly gave a couple of names.
I mean, you got Curry.
Mm-hmm. Chris Curry back. Mekhi Bernard.
Yeah, like you should be fine at running back.
Jalen Glover. Jaquinen Jackson.
Yeah.
Some of the corners, I wonder, just because they're young. That's it. Only the young. They're good, though.
Yeah.
I'm dying to see what they do in the spring.
So, having Zamaya Vaughn and Travis Broughton is extremely helpful. You hope that you can get a lot from the youth. You got Fabian Marks, who's back. Kane Savage. And you've got a couple of big-time recruits that you're bringing in.
Hey, maybe they come in, by the way, maybe they come in like Clark Phillips did and just...
Maybe.
That's not the easiest thing to do. Clark Phillips was pretty special.
Yeah.
Maybe. It's not to say these guys aren't, but...
Yeah, but you can question the corners, but they do have a pretty good room right now. Got good talent in that room.
And the only question is just the youth. That's it.
And that hasn't been something that's held a lot of the cornerbacks back lately at Utah.
Okay, one question possibly. Who do you guys see on that roster that's going to apply the pressure? We were talking about BYU needing to find somebody to apply the pressure. Is it Van Fillinger? Does he take off weight and become the pass rush guy they've expected? Is it Connor O'Toole? Does he take that next step in progression?
Van's going into his junior year, right?
Van is going into his junior season.
Yeah. He's got to make that jump. It's time for him to make that jump.
It's time for him to make that jump.
Been a good player. Now it's time to be an elite player.
I have no questions about the defensive tackles.
Yeah, no. No, you're fine there.
I think they're going to be some of the better D tackles in the country. But when you get that push and that quarterback doesn't have step-up room, who's there to take the swipe off the backside?
Yeah.
Don't know. You took Miki Sugaturaga and you put him in the tight ends room.
We got to get to the bottom of that one.
Yeah.
All right. Mark's hanging out with us from Wasatch Medical, 801-901-8000. That is the number to call because, Mark, if you're a listener out there struggling with ED, now's the time to get it taken care of. It will not get better on its own, so let's be proactive. Get it squared away.
Absolutely. Yeah, guys, this will not get better on its own. ED, for most guys, is a lack of blood flow. It is a physical problem, and you really need a physical solution to this. Now, you can take the pills, right? Some of you guys have been taking the pills for quite some time. They've been around for a quarter of a century now, believe it or not. Those pills, though, they only give a temporary increase in blood flow. They treat the symptoms. They do nothing to treat the root cause. The other issue with the pills, the timing. You have to plan everything out. You lose that natural spontaneity and then the potential side effects. So a better solution, in my opinion, is at Wasatch Medical Clinic. It's called acoustic wave therapy. This is a breakthrough treatment when it comes to treating ED. Treats the root cause of ED. In most guys, again, that is a lack of blood flow. And the way this works, guys, it's non-invasive. There are no needles, no surgery, no pain, no side effects or downtime. We have a small device which is placed on top of the skin that will deliver gentle pressure waves to the damaged blood vessels below. Helps to repair those blood vessels. Those blood vessels now open up where and when you need it the most. And I can't stress this enough, that natural spontaneity returns to your relationship.
801-901-8000. Take advantage of the free assessment. You meet with a physician, get the ultrasound, see exactly what's going on, and then go from there. Let's get you squared away. 801-901-8000 right here on The Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Time to welcome in Ken Pomeroy, owner of KenPom.com. Everyone's bracket is in shambles. 2-1 seeds are out. 2-2 seeds are out. A 3 and 2 4s. How much of this did you see coming? How much did KenPom.com see all this in advance? And how much of it are you totally stunned by?
Well, the particulars I did not see coming. But the general idea of a lot of upsets occurring itself isn't too shocking. When I looked at my rating betting into the tournament, the very top team is Houston, and their rating was worse than every prior top team except two in the 25 years of data that I have. So the top of college basketball was clearly weaker than usual, and these top teams were more vulnerable than ever, and picking out which top teams are going to go down was the dicey part and the reason that everybody's brackets are actually in shambles.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 to 10. Presented by Murdoch Hyundai, Utah's number one Hyundai dealer for 16 years in a row on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
The wheel is loaded, and it's time to talk some sports. This is Sports Roulette with Hanson Scotting, presented by U First Credit Union on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It is a Team 49 Tuesday where we give away Jazz tickets, and let's give away a pair right now. 801-575-ZONE. It's 801-575-ZONE. You win a pair of tickets. See the Jazz take on the Milwaukee Bucks and Joe Ingles coming up Friday night at Vivint Arena. You want those tickets? All you have to be is caller number 12 right now. 801-575-ZONE. All right, it is Sports Roulette brought to you by the SLC Weed Man. Because lawn care is not all alike. Go to weedman.com today. Promises are kept. Lawns are green. Again, weedman.com. Get there now. Now's the time to start getting on the books, making sure you get your lawn ready to go for spring and summer.
Pre-emergent right now?
I would say so, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We still got a little bit of snow that
I'm
might
not
cover.
Even in lawn mode right now. I'm not feeling it yet. I mean, I know we need to do it, but it's like, doesn't feel like it's time.
Did you guys have some white stuff on your lawn this morning?
I did. Yeah, we got about a couple inches.
Did you really?
Yesterday and throughout last night, yeah.
We had a little dusting, but nothing that was measurable. I guess there's more coming in, though, huh?
Yeah. It's just not stopping.
It's spring. It's time.
Let's turn the page. Come on.
Get Weed Man out to your house. Get things fertilized. Get it going.
All right. Let's get to it. Lloyd, let's fire up that wheel.
I don't want your stinky jersey.
Weird exchange last night. Did you see this between Dylan Brooks and Kyrie Irving? So the Grizzlies beat the Mavs 112-108 at the FedEx Forum there in Memphis. And Dylan Brooks, who I don't know if people like, I don't think other players like him.
No, I don't think so.
I know that the NBA in general does not like him, but he does some really good things for Memphis.
Oh, yeah.
Went up to Kyrie, high-fived him. Kyrie had his jersey off. Kyrie puts his jersey in Dylan Brooks' hands, gives him a bit of a bro hug. Dylan Brooks is pulling off his jersey to give it to Kyrie. Kyrie turns away from Dylan Brooks and goes and talks to somebody else as Dylan stood there with his jersey in his hand looking at Kyrie like,
hey, man, you want this?
You don't want the jersey? I've got yours. I thought that we were exchanging. Oh, I'll just put that back.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't mean to give it to you anyway.
Kyrie said, this was a quote afterwards. He says, yeah, I'll probably get that jersey next time. In other words, Kyrie Irving had no interest in taking Dylan Brooks' jersey.
A lot of these guys, look, let's be honest. A lot of these guys get those jerseys, frame them, put them up. Who wants a framed Dylan Brooks jersey?
Nobody.
If you're Kyrie Irving.
I actually.
Like it throws the wall off a little bit. Yeah, all these amazing jerseys. Yeah, and then
Dylan Brooks.
I think that the NBA jersey exchange is becoming one of the stupidest things there is. But that's
I don't think. I don't think there's something that was so cool that it now becomes so dumb.
Right. So when Kobe Bryant meets up with Michael Jordan as Michael's leaving the game and Kobe is taking over as the big gun in the league, and they exchange that jersey and a hug, that was cool. Like, all right, that's the two greats. But now you're watching a game and you're seeing, I don't know, Ochai Agbaji exchange a jersey with, I don't know, name any one of the no-name guys, AJ Griffin from Atlanta. And you're like, what? So you're going to observe this, take pictures, the exchange? Yeah. Can you just look like competitors for a minute? Can you look like you hate each other and care? I do not like the jersey.
Would you have ever seen Magic and Bird exchange jerseys?
In front of people.
In front of people?
Not a chance.
Now, privately, they're like, hey, man, admire you, you know, and they do something. But in public for the whole world to see,
There's something that just nauseates me about them exchanging it and holding it by the straps with their pointer fingers and thumbs and extending it out and taking the picture together like you really matter, because you don't.
Yeah.
Just shut up. Win your games. Go win as many games as you possibly can. Compete with everything you've got, because that's what the fans want to see. They don't want to see a jersey exchange. No. Dylan and Kyrie.
Well, I mean, you do have two of the most unlikable people in the NBA.
That's true. How dumb would you feel, though, if you're Dylan?
Oh, no, really dumb. That's like...
Kyrie saw the jersey in Dylan's hands and turned his back to it. Like, now you can keep mine, but I'm not taking yours.
Yeah. Clint said, just tweets in, now you got to ask Hans who he exchanged equipment with when he was in the NFL. Did you ever swap a helmet with anybody?
No. No, but I doubt that that was a
thing. I don't think that's a thing.
No.
Helmet swaps? Yeah. Not a thing, right?
No. No.
Or jersey swaps?
Not that I know
of. A thing in the NFL?
No, not that I know of.
Not that I can think of.
If it is, please let it be between, like, as, I don't know, as...
I'm sure the jersey things happened in the NFL.
As Tom Brady's exiting the game, a nice jersey swap with Josh Allen or something.
Oh, maybe. Didn't somebody come up and try to swap jerseys with Brady in his last game?
It was a receiver.
It was like a rookie, no-namer. Yeah, like somebody.
And Tom's like, yeah, I'm gonna hold on to this one.
Yeah, he did. He came up. He said, "Hey, Tom, let me get that jersey." Tom's like, "Yeah,
who are you again?
This one's going to be worth a little bit of money. Don't think you need it."
Props to him though for having the
like. I already have to cut it in half and get half of it to Giselle. So I'm sorry. It's not.
Am I being old? Get off my lawn, guy. With this,
I hate it. Okay, you are a little bit, but I'm right on that.
It nauseates me.
But I'm right on that soapbox with you. Like kids are listening. Like, hey, come on, it's cool. No, it's not.
No, it's not.
It's lame.
Do it where people don't see you being all chummy buddy-buddy.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Like, honestly, I could see you not wanting Peyton Manning to sign something like, hey, Peyton, you know, I think I'm done here with the Colts. Can you sign this jersey for me? No way you'd do that.
No.
Never in a million years. Like, And both of us have been able to be around some athletes and stuff. Not even in, like, you definitely can't do it in a journalistic standpoint, but whether it's like a fundraising event or something like that, you have a chance to get autographs or pictures all the time. And I'm like, I don't really want to do any of that. Like, it feels weird to ask somebody for an autograph. I don't know. That's just me. I've always been that way.
Jersey exchange. Dylan Brooks, too.
Yeah. Kyrie's
a big deal. There's no question. He's a big deal.
Would you want Dylan Brooks on your team? Because he's the ultimate, you kind of like him when he's on your team because he's an antagonizer. But you hate him when he's on another team.
By the way, I think he's become unlikable on his own
team. That's the thing. I think he's right. Like, I think you're right.
Yeah. I don't think he's even likable on his own team now.
Like, I think Draymond Green kind of hit on something where he's like, I don't think your own team likes you right now.
If he was a locker room disturbance, no. But if it was just about his game and his style, yes. So if he's a locker room disturbance and he's a big problem with his teammates, no. But if I could just take his game and what he does on a court, probably. Yeah. I'll take his game. And I'm going to make him that Markieff Morris. I'm going to make him that guy that Marcus Smart.
Yeah.
I'm going to make him that guy that just gets under everybody's skin.
All right. One more, Lloyd. Spin it.
Deion staying in the headlines.
Everything Deion does is in the headlines.
Yes, it is.
And he sure has video cameras on him 24/7 around his facilities, doesn't he? Deion Sanders back in the headlines because he walked into a team lifting session and spotted one of his players with white socks on and booted him out of the workout facilities for having white socks on.
Yeah, he showed me the video. I had not seen it until you showed it to me. He walks in. He's like, hey, you, get out.
White socks? Out. You're done. Go.
Not a swap out socks and get back at it. It's no, you're gone. You're out.
Get out. People aren't going to like it. Mainstream media won't like it. Social media won't like it. I totally understand it. I don't know if I like the way he's going about filming things and then the video is getting released. I don't like that because it makes it look like he's doing it for show.
It's staged.
Yeah. I'm coming. Bringing Louis Vuitton. I'm coming. You better be ready because I'm coming. You don't need that on video.
No.
The tactic behind closed doors of everybody's wearing black socks because we're a team and we're going to start to build team unity. And if I can't trust you in black socks and you in black socks at a small detail, then I can't trust you anything. If we can control what socks we all wear as a team, we can control the rest of the team concepts. It's those little things that we need to control as a team. And I'm all for it. But it's something that coaches are afraid to do now. Because that kid that had the white socks on that just left the workout facility, he's going to go sit in the locker room and he's going to tell one of his teammates, what a moron coming in and talking to me about socks. Really? I'm going to be in a facility? I'm putting the work in and I have to leave because I got the wrong socks on? This guy's an idiot. I'm out. Deion will be like, fine, go. I don't care. I don't have to win here for the next 2 years. What I got to do is I've got to build a chemistry. I've got to build a society of football player. I got to build my locker room. And I'm not doing it with a guy that, after I tell you to wear black socks, you bring white socks in my training room. Don't want it.
Now, I
want
to know, is this guy a walk-on? Is he a third-string guy? Or is he a, I need to count on this guy to be great, starter for his team? And I know we don't know that, and I'm not asking you to come up with it. I'm just saying, like, it's like the whole Jimmy Johnson line of, you know, he cut some guy and the press was like, why'd you cut him? He's like, he fell asleep in my meeting. I'm like, okay, well, what happens if Troy Aikman falls asleep? He's like, well, I wake him up. Like, is this guy a meaningful starter? Because I hope he is. Like, I hope that it's a across the board, everybody's living up to the standard.
Yeah.
And, or I hope it wasn't just, hey, I know the camera's on me, I see the white socks, and this dude's like a third string guy, I'm going to make an example so the whole world can see.
Yeah, that would be ridiculous. The other thing that would be ridiculous is if it's his son and he doesn't say something.
Because
his son is in that locker room. He was announced as the starting quarterback coming into the season. And I don't know how Deion is with his son, but giving him the starting nod before they even really show up felt a little bit ridiculous. But if he's out there in white socks and he tells his son to get off the field because you got white socks and I told you only black socks cross team policy, then, you know, you're starting to build a little bit of respect for coach. All right. Well, he just threw his own son out of here. All right. He's taking reps from his son. Oh, boy. His son underperformed in practice and now his son's three deep. Deion is just going to have to hold to what he's doing. If he does, he's going to be successful.
And if he's genuine with it.
Yeah. It better not just be for the camera.
Exactly. If it's a genuine, and these kids know that he's trying to install discipline, he's not just putting on a show. If he's genuine, like we talk about Sharif Shah all the time. Sharif Shah will tear a kid up, bark at him, but you know deep down Sharif Shah loves that kid. If Deion Sanders, and if these kids know that Deion Sanders loves them, wants the best for them, and is going to push them like crazy and be really hard on them because he wants the best for them, then he'll have these dudes running through a wall for him.
Yeah, he will. On the flip side, if it's disingenuous.
Yeah.
For instance, so this kid was under a squat rack, if I remember right. He's under the squat rack, and I think he's doing squats and has white socks on. And he said, put the rack up. Get out of my weight room. If this kid leaves the weight room and sees this video surface and doesn't believe that what his coach just did to him is genuine from the heart to try to build a team concept, it's going to melt this team apart. Just like the Louis Vuitton speech, just like the coach that came in that, stand up, sit down, stand up, sit down. And they had the cameras on the whole time, made them all look stupid. If I feel like they're doing that for the show, I'm done.
Yeah.
If I feel like they're doing that and it's got some real substance to it and everybody's being held accountable, then I think we're going to be successful.
Yeah. All right. Wrap this thing up. Hands to Scotty, 97.5, the EKSL Sports Zone.
Wherever you go, the Zone will be right there with you every step of the way. It's the all-new KSL Sports app.
I love it.
Where you can listen to the Zone wherever you may be.
Listen to me, this stuff is available everywhere.
It's your new home for streaming the Zone and getting all the latest news, insight, and analysis of the teams you can't live without. It's the all-new KSL Sports app. Available now wherever you shop for apps. Miss any part of the show? Every moment of every show is available in podcast form by searching Hans and Scotty on your favorite podcasting platform or online at kslsports.com. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Standing here beside you.
Hans and Scotty wrapping up another edition of the show. Hey, make sure to join us coming up on Friday. We'll be live at the NPS store. Stands for what, Hans?
National Product Sales. Nice place to save, I call it.
Nice place to shop. Come up with your own, but we will be there. 1600 Empire Road in Salt Lake City. Check out all the great deals at npsstore.com. Should be a lot of fun.
So much stuff there.
Go get some zingers.
Yeah. Get ourselves a box of zingers for a buck.
All right, Mark's hanging out with us one last time from Wasatch Medical. And Mark, I'll tell you what, can't encourage people enough to get down there. If you're struggling in the bedroom, now's the time to get it taken care of. And I'm sure you see a lot of success stories down there with guys that change their life, and it changes marriages, changes relationship, family dynamics. I mean, there's a lot on the line here.
Absolutely. And there are a lot of guys out there that waited and waited and put things off. And then when they come in, they have the treatments. They feel much better about life. So, yes, if you're one of those guys who is kind of holding off, you've heard the commercials for a long time, and you're just wondering and wondering, give us a call. We have something called acoustic wave therapy at Wasatch Medical Clinic. The great thing about acoustic wave therapy, as opposed to the pills, we are treating the root cause of ED. In most guys, that's a lack of blood flow. If you're taking the pills, you're only getting that temporary increase, and you also have the timing issues, potential side effects. So the acoustic wave therapy, you don't have to worry about the side effects. You don't have to worry about the timing issues, as that natural spontaneity will return.
801-901-8000, and every time you call in, you bring a lot of free to the table, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Guys, give us a call today. We will set you up with that initial exam, the assessment, even that blood flow ultrasound at no cost. In addition to that, you will get a gift that can produce rapid results for those intimate moments. You need to call today, guys, though, to take advantage of this offer. The number is 801-901-8000, 801-901-8000.
That's 801-901-8000 right here on The Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.